Well, I do want to welcome all of you who are here. You can't see exactly who all they are, but we love you. We are missing all of you. And I'm hoping that we'll be soon together again. You know, it seems like in this time that we think that it doesn't matter where we are, that we are in unity in the Spirit. But there's something about coming together. And Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. And in this time, it's been very difficult for me because there is power when you all are here that isn't felt when you're not here, when we're all not all together. There is a stronger anointing, a stronger power, whether you feel it or not. Jesus that puts an anointing on our gathering in a way that isn't when we're kind of scattered. I mean, we have an anointing individually, but there is power when we come together. Otherwise, they wouldn't have said to come together. Forsake not coming, assembling of yourself together. The assembly is important. And that's been under pretty strong attack in this difficult time. The assembling of the saints. I mean, we've had a pastor arrested with a lot of criticism. Oh, he didn't do this and he shouldn't have done that. And even by his own believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I have a problem with that because each man has to work according to his conscience. So let's turn to, I want to address that before I go into other things. Because I personally believe that that pastor was right on. We're told to obey the laws of the land. The law of our land is our constitution. It is not the people.
Preach it.
It is not the people whom we elect to serve us and to uphold our constitution. It is the Constitution, and that Constitution gives us rights that others seem to be trampling on in the name of health.
Safety.
And honestly, you and I are responsible personally for our own health. And I just want to make a statement that says that if we are going to be led by fear, you might as well not read the Word. Because if you are reading the Word in fear, it is negated. We are not a people of fear. We want to be respectful. We want to honor our leaders when they are doing the best they can to protect us. But there is a line in the sand. Many of the disciples had to deal with that for various reasons. They went to jail for it. They went to prison for it. If we find ourselves as Christians comfortable and fearful, we're going to be out of our comfort zone for any reason. We are need to be watching what we say and do as a result of that. Because Christianity is not comfortable. Following the Lord Jesus Christ will cost you everything if you want to follow him. It costs the disciples everything, and it will cost us everything. What that's going to look like individually is between you and the Lord and what he has planned for you. But our life isn't about being comfortable. Our life is about following Jesus. And when you are in this world, but not of this world, following him will not be comfortable. If you're comfortable and not being persecuted in any way, you need to pay attention and see who you're following and what you're doing. I just need to say that. Because we are very close to losing our freedoms.
Yes.
Our freedom to assemble, our freedom to worship freely. Men and women died that sacrificed everything, their families and everything else, to give us the freedom of our Constitution and of our right to bear arms and of our right to elect those who would protect our Constitution, not us. So I want you to think about that. Maybe you don't agree. That's okay. I just needed to say have my say on that. And I support Rodney Howard Brown, Reverend Rodney Howard Brown. This man is a man who comes from another country. He knows what freedom, the value of freedom. He's been here serving the people in this country for many, many years. He did it right. He didn't just have a service. He prepared. He prepared. The sheriff that arrested him knew exactly what he was doing and gained permission. He had sanitizing machines. He prepared the whole assembly, sanitized everything. They did it right. And people are still accusing him. So I just wanted to make a statement and a shout out for Reverend Rodney Howard Brown. He's the first man that imparted a ministerial gift to me. And he has been in this country serving faithfully and bringing the gospel to the streets of America continually. It's his goal to evangelize the whole world, and he's living it and doing it. And I respect him, and I don't think anyone ever should say one word against him that would say that he doesn't care about people. He cares more about people. He's lived his life. He's lost lives. He's done a great work, and I just wanted to say that openly, even though we only have a few here. I respect him highly, and he's in Tampa, and he has a school that trains people to go out and evangelize. That's my say about that. Did you have a question?
Is this recent, or was this the one that happened a while ago?
The one that happened a couple of months ago, when we first when this first started. Yeah.
What was his name again?
Rodney Howard Brown. He is originally from South Africa. At one of his meetings, he told me, he said, you know, when he was a little boy, what he used to do, he would line all of his stuffed animals up in a row in his bedroom, and he would pray they get healed, pray they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, pray. And he practiced as a little boy. His parents were obviously Christians. He said he slept under many, many pews. He's been a faithful warrior. And he's done some astounding work since he's been in this country. And I've been a privilege to be in some of his meetings and to have impartations from his meetings and what he's done. So I just want to shout out for him. Did you have
a... I was just going to comment. The heard on the radio on the way over here in Florida, a small business decided to open up the Ford that they were supposed to be allowed to, and the owner got arrested. And they immediately went to court about it, and they determined that the state has no authority to deem anything essential or non-essential, or to prevent anybody from conducting business. So that's already taking place.
That's awesome. And I trust that Christians don't rail against the people who are standing up for their freedoms, because that's why we have the freedom to come together even tonight.
Some do.
Pardon?
Some do.
They can take that with the Father.
They're going to have to.
Yep. That's right. I want to turn to Romans. Romans first. Romans 15. Luke 21:5 I want to go to first. I know that's a big difference, but we'll start there. You know, you look around and you think, what's happening? I'm sure that many of you on the internet listening to voices, prophetic voices. In one camp you'll hear this prophet, in another camp you'll hear this prophet. And it reminds me sometimes of the times of Jeremiah, when some prophets were saying one thing And Jeremiah was saying another. So there has to be some place that we have to hear the truth. And the times and the meanings of this season we live in and how we discern what times we're in was one of the privileges of the Issachar tribe. And I believe the Issachar tribe had, not only were they burden bearers, but they were also prophetic. They could discern what the times and seasons are. And as a prophet, as a prophetic church, we have to have that in front of us. We have to discern what time we're living in and what God's preparing for us and what he's asking of us. Now, we know that Israel is the big time clock. It's the time clock as to the seasons that we're in. And all of his prophets are seeing the times and the meanings as the Lord reveals things in his word, and we want to have a prophetic flow. But there is much controversy about the times, whether we're right at the end, somewhat close, or otherwise. Which is it? We're right at the end, somewhere close, or otherwise. We got all these camps. And there's much controversy as to whether who's right and who's wrong, because as many, if you listen to these teachers, they've all got scriptures to back up what they believe. The rapture's now. There is no rapture. The rapture's after. It's all, everybody's got these scriptures that are backed up. So how do we discern what in the world's going on? How do we get clarity? You can just be as confused as you want, or you can just shut everything out. And my remedy is to stay in the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to just tell me what I need to know today. And listen to the prophetic that comes in our body. Because it's pretty consistent as we hear. Some people think we have started the 7-year tribulation, or it's just getting ready to start. Some biblical points of view say otherwise. And there is much controversy. And every teacher that is teaching believes they have the right interpretation. Is that correct? It is obvious that the Lord intended for us to know the times and the seasons, as he gave clear and a vast array of descriptions of those times. But the things that separate the teachings is a clarity and a unity of the time. But of this one thing, most all the Christians in the world agree in, and that is, he is coming again, right? We all agree, he is coming again. Oops, I left one sincere group out. I'm sorry. And that is the preterist. Yeah. They believe he already came.
Ironically.
And they don't even agree when he came. Okay? So, that leaves one thing. We have to hear the voice of God day by day through his word and walk out our salvation personally with fear and trembling and submit one to another and fellowship one with another and stay together in the Lord, not separate. Jesus did say one very important thing that we can most agree on, except for maybe that group, and that is, when we see all those things that he laid out, then. So let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21, we can start at verse 1. And he looked up, and he saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that the poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath. So one thing for sure, we're going to have to give the Lord everything we have. Not just financially, but everything we have. All of our life, we give it all to Him. Everything we have belongs to Him, so we might as well just take our hands off of it and say, it's yours, Lord. Show me how to steward it, including everything about our desires, everything that we are, we have to give to Him. And as some spake in the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, He said, as for these things, which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they said, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Well, He said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not out therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then He said to them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for thy name's sake, and shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate, but what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Well, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like fun. And you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries either thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That is a big clue. The times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And of course, He then spake to them in parables. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till it be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come on you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth, of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the day time he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that called Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Well, there are many times and seasons that these things have seemed to appear. A little here, a little there. But, there is one time that he's coming back. It isn't going to be several times. It's one time. And I do believe that Israel, the fig tree, is that sign. And everything that's being fulfilled in Israel, I didn't realize what the treaty that Trump has laid out through his brother, or his son-in-law, Jared, has laid out this treaty. I had no idea till the other night when I heard it laid out and I heard all the details, that everything that he put in that treaty had to do with scriptural prophecies. Have you read any of that treaty? Are you aware of any of the treaty? And what it's scary, because we've been warned as a nation that if we ask Israel to give up territory, our nation will be split. And that's been prophesied by many, and many have had visions of that. So we need to pray. We need to really pray. Because if everything in this treaty is finally accepted, we're on the countdown big time. They will build a temple. And I don't know all the details enough to lay it out now, but I just heard them and it was like astounding, and I didn't have a pen. It was like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that that was in the treaty. And it will prepare, all the agreements will prepare the Temple Mount to be a place where the temple can be built. But first, they're allowed to have sacrifices on the Temple Mount before they build the temple.
That's correct.
So that could be as soon as that agreement is agreed. If it's agreed. So we have a lot to look forward to. And I say what Jesus said, look up, for our redemption draws nigh. We don't have time to waste. We need to be in the Word, listening to His voice, and letting Him speak to us day by day. That word, He said, when He wants us to come into the secret place, He wasn't kidding. I mean, look what He's made us all able to get away and do that. He has things He has to prepare us for. And we need to pay attention. We need to fellowship one with another and share what God has shown us. That's important. That's important for us individually and corporately, that we are to share and fellowship with what He's showing each of us. And I just share the few things that He shows me, and I know each one of you are getting bits and pieces, because we're all, you know, a family, we're a church, we're a body, and some, the head, I mean, we have different functions, and we are to work together, not separate. And I don't like this separate being, everybody being home and not here. I don't like it, but it is what it is momentarily, and hopefully it will change soon. We can pray that it change soon. Because whether we realize it or not, our separation from one another is doing something that is not necessarily good. And I heard it from the Lord today. I did. And I didn't, you all probably have heard some things too. Because, you know, when you start backing up from what God's provided, whether it's a good or a bad thing, if there's a war, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that we could face that would separate us. But there will be something missing in that There will be something missing in the body that God's called us to be a part of and to grow in. And that's important. So we need to pray that we will continually have the ability to come together and to understand how valuable, how precious that is. I want to tell you, as your pastor, you have not understood how valuable that is as a body. It's like, you know, sometimes it's like, and I want everybody to pray and say, Lord, show me the importance of us coming together. Because there's something here that isn't here when we're at home. That he imparts something together through one another that we can't get when we're separate. And it just is what it is. That is why the first century church came together, even though they were meeting from house to house, they came together in the city once a week to gather. Isn't that right, Dr. Taylor? And so coming together and being a whole, and that power that is in that is very powerful. And it's changed nations in the past. And it changed them. That's how the gospel got spread. And they were added on thousands at a time. It's pretty amazing. But I do want to say that there's one thing that I finally got settled in my heart, and I know that I am 72 years old, and I've always met on Sunday, except for the brief time that Sonship met on Saturday. That was way back when we first started meeting, we met on Saturday. And you know, you hear all these people say, if you don't meet on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, you're out of God's will, okay? And so I have asked the Lord the things that he has shown me. I am settled on Sunday. But I just realized after the day of Pentecost is coming. Pentecost is coming. This month, the 31st, is Pentecost Sunday. This is going to be a very unusual Pentecost Sunday. I believe God is going to pour out his Spirit as never before. When the Lord told me that this year was going to be the best year of our lives, and he was going to do great, great, great things, and we've heard it in prophecy. You know, April started the beginning of the spiritual year in the Jewish calendar. And Pentecost is when he's going to pour out like never before. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the 31st, there's going to be a massive pour out of his Spirit as in the days of Pentecost, as in the first days of Pentecost. But, you know, there's 40 days after the resurrection on the earth, 40 days that Jesus was on the earth. And then when he left, he said, tarry until the Holy Spirit come. Well, they tarried, and it was 10 days. It was the 50th day. The 50th day. The resurrection was the first fruits. And on the 50th day was the first fruits to his body. And that was the day of Pentecost. And that was not on the Sabbath. It was on the first day of the week. Not only did he rise on the first day of the week, not the Sabbath, but he poured out his Spirit on man on the first day of the week, which was not Sabbath, it was Sunday. So I think we have a pretty interesting reason and a good, solid reason to worship on Sunday, because it changed everything. The resurrection and Pentecost changed everything. The cross, of course. But it changed everything. So I'm pretty comfortable meeting on Sunday now. After I've thought about it and looked at it, it makes me feel, yeah, I don't have to worry. Because, I have people coming all the time. Well, you should be. Well, you know, the Ten Commandments and all that. People argue with me about it over the years all the time. You know, they think it should be Saturday. And I said, well, you know, now I have a better argument than I've had before. I've always, and we're living in the eighth day, folks. We're living in the eighth day. 7 days are past. We're living in a new beginning, a new era since Pentecost. And we don't realize it. Yesterday's gone. We're living in the now day, the now. God is now, a now God. And I don't quite understand that yet. I've asked God for greater understanding of what that means. But this is a very different time and a very different season. So Pentecost and the 50 always represented liberty and freedom and deliverance from debt. People, God instructed them to be relieved of debt, to set the slaves free if they wanted to be free. It was a day of freedom and liberty. And that represented their freedom from Egypt. And I believe that this year, I'm believing it. Please believe it with me, that this is the year. This is the year that we're going to have that mighty outpouring that's going to usher in the countdown of the day. And it's important that we all at least believe that God's going to pour out His Spirit in a mighty way. But I believe it's going to be like no other in history except for that first time. I believe that this is the hour, this is the day, this is the year that He's going to do that, and it's going to fulfill everything He's been telling us in the prophetic word. The miracles that we're going to see, the power that we're going to operate in, the light we're going to be to the world, He's going to empower us in a mighty way. So, if you will, believe that with me, because I believe I've heard from God. And I really believe that this is going to be a very, very big countdown, the year of Pentecost. I don't think it'll be the last Pentecost, but I do think that it's going to be one that changes the earth for this last countdown, just like it changed the earth on that day of Pentecost. Does anybody want to make a comment?
It's Monday in Israel.
So, Monday in Israel?
Yes, it is. So the day before was Sunday, which the people that want to worship on the Sabbath day are really worshiping. They use Israel as the time clock. They're worshiping on Sunday. And we're worshiping on Sunday too, but it's only 2 a.m. in the morning in Israel, Monday in Israel.
Yeah. Well, hallelujah.
Don't tell them because they get upset, so that's okay. But it says in the scripture that every day we can designate the day. We can designate it.
I agree. But I just think it's interesting that Jesus did come back on the first day of the week.
It is.
And Pentecost was on the first day of the week. I think that's very significant. And even though I knew it, I just hadn't got my brain together on it.
Just another comment. We have to remember the Jewish calendar is based on 30 days and the 31st. So the exact moment of the Pentecost, I don't know. There's a lot of people that
it may last more than a day.
Could.
It may be a season.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it's not the season until the Lord returns.
Maybe. I don't know.
I just don't think it's just going to be a day. It wasn't the day of Pentecost. It was the beginning. And until this day, we still have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because people are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit all the time. And this is going to be a major, major change in the body of Christ. And I don't think it's going to majorly change all the body of Christ. But it's going to especially usher in the remnant and to set them in their place and into what God's calling to do now. That's just my opinion. But I know that there's going to be a difference. I don't know what it's going to look like, but there it is. Well, I also want to remind you before I close that the blood covenant was paid for by Jesus' blood, and it's eternal. And every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God was backed up by the blood. We have a sure promise that what the word says is true, and the blood seals it, and we can't dispute it. And we need to understand that and believe that and grab a hold of that word and hold it and meditate on it and eat it until we know that we know that we know that regardless of what we see or what we feel or what we hear, that God's word is true, it's eternal, and we are to embrace it, to speak it, to sleep it. We are to get constant nourishment from it because it's backed with the blood of the Lamb of God. And whether you see it now or later or eternally, it is true. It is true. And no matter, whatever you see that is contrary to it is temporary and has to come under the Word of God. That's very important. And I've been meditating on that, and I'm telling you, it's just been so nourishing. It's like, you know, in this time of where we've had time to get away, it's been nourishing to just feed on the Word and to picture it. And when I read it now, it's like I enter into it. And He wants us to enter into it. And really, it's fun. It's amazing. He's amazing. He's just amazing.
Amen, amen.
So just be praying that this Pentecost, that we are prepared, that we're going to be waiting for it. We're not going to miss it. We're not going to, like, you know, I know that some of those people that went up to the upper room left before those 10 days. Because people are people. But the ones that remained, not that they didn't get it maybe later, but the ones that remained got it first. And I want to get it first. How about you? Well, we have a lot to look forward to, even in the midst of all the struggles and the peril of what we see on the outside. We have great things to look forward to. Amen. Hallelujah. Dr. Tellers, will you share in the service communion?